Major League Baseball owners could lock out their players as soon as tonight. If players and owners don't work out a deal, we could see the first work stoppage in baseball in 26 years. Let's check on the situation and some other sports news with Barry Svrluga, sports columnist at The Washington Post. Hey, Barry.
Hey, how are you?
I'm well, and I want to start with this looming lockout. The dispute is mainly about money, of course, but spell out the issues for us.
Well, it is about money, and it's about how much money the players get in the share of revenue that, despite a lot of lamenting of baseball standing in the national sports landscape, revenues for Major League Baseball continue to rise. So essentially, players are saying, look, if you're making more money, we should be making a higher percentage of that. They cite stats that show that the average salary for a Major League Baseball player has fallen each year since 2017. And more than that, they lament kind of a strategy in the sport in which teams intentionally suffer through bad seasons and are not competitive in order to get high draft picks and get younger, cheaper labor that allows them to rise and be contenders. They would like a system that rewards spending, rewards being competitive annually, and rewards 30 teams trying to win a championship rather than half the sport trying and half the sport not.
Yeah, I know fans often grumble about that tanking method that we see across other sports. Sometimes it works. Look at the Philadelphia 76ers, but it is painful in the process. What other rule changes do the players want here?
We're likely to see the designated hitter finally come to the National League. The two leagues have been playing under a different set of rules, the pitchers hitting in one league and a designated hitter hitting in the other league for, you know, 40 years. But I think the sport has other issues. It is dealing with a set of circumstances that has made it slow and, in some cases, even for a purist like myself, rather boring. I would like to see both sides put aside the financial dispute and say, look, in the interest of our sport going forward, we've got to restore the balance between pitching and hitting that has made this such a beautiful game for so long.
And I think what you're hitting on here, Barry, though, really underscores the high stakes here, right? Because as those balls in play have gone down, the pace of play has slowed down. Some fans are losing interest, and if there's a prolonged lockout, that could really drive even more fans away. So what are the stakes?
Oh, they're extraordinarily high. And I don't think that fans are going to be bitter about a lockout that lasts from December 2nd until January 5th. If it starts pushing back spring training and opening day gets moved back and the season is shortened and there are tangible consequences to a dispute that most people will see as between billionaires and millionaires, then you're daring your fan base to hang with you through that. And I don't think the sport nationally is in position to dare their fan base to look for an off ramp and choose another sport at a time when the on-field issues already give them enough excuses to do that.
Sure. We are at least several months away from losing actual games. But Barry, I want to get to another story about players and money. Some players who are actually already active. I'm thinking about this news this week that Gatorade has signed its first ever endorsement deal with a college athlete. Remember, they're allowed to profit from their name, image, and likeness now. And the new sports drink spokesperson is going to be UConn sophomore Paige Beckers. She's the top player in the women's game. Barry, the best men's basketball players often leave college after just one season, but the women generally play all 4 years. I wonder if you think this could be the start of a trend in which sponsors gravitate to female athletes who are going to become more familiar to fans because they stay in school longer.
Absolutely. And I think it's a perfect entry point for a national entity like Gatorade. And frankly, a national entity like UConn women's basketball and whoever happens to be the star at that school at that time. This has been a long time coming. You're right in that I think there's more appeal and more lasting appeal for an athlete that is going to be around for 4 years, or in this case, 3 more years. She's going to become a brand name for UConn basketball. This allows her to become a brand name for herself and make some money off the image that she's generated. That's hard work that puts her in this position. She should be able to profit off of it, and she is.
And we're seeing some of her teammates already signing other deals as well. Barry, before you go, somebody who certainly has signed his share of endorsement deals over the years is Tiger Woods. He made some, I think, pretty somber news yesterday. He had his first news conference since he was badly injured in that car crash in February. And he said he almost lost his leg. It almost had to be amputated. And he's not sure he'll ever be able to play competitive golf again, certainly not a full-time schedule. What does that mean for the game? I mean, it sounds like the end of an era.
Well, it sounded like the end of an era for a while for Tiger too. And I, you know, he's one of those figures who almost dares you to write him off. And it almost is kind of supplying the material for his own athletic obituary here. He is 45, so there's a limit to how long he could be consistently competitive. If Tiger Woods is healthy again, he won't be able to play 30 tournaments a year, but I don't put it past him to find lightning in a bottle one time and at Augusta National or someplace that he's really familiar with, contend in a major.
Interesting. We did see Jack Nicklaus win the Masters at 46, so maybe Tiger can one-up him. That's Barrius Fruliga, sports columnist for The Washington Post. Barry, thank you.
Thanks for having me.